Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. We have another positive birth story for you all, and I am joined with Steph, who is coming on to tell us the story of her second birth. She actually sent me an email with a couple of photos where I was like, oh my God, I need to hear this story in person with you and have you on the podcast. It was an accidental free birth. She's going to tell you all about this in a moment. So get yourself comfortable and enjoy. Steph, welcome to the podcast. Oh my God, I'm so excited to have you on and to hear this story. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and perhaps about your pregnancy journey? Because I know this is your second baby. So a little bit about your previous birth and your pregnancy journey with this new baby.
My pregnancy this time around was so different to my first pregnancy. I think not just hospital visits had changed and everything was so different. My last pregnancy was during lockdown. So I had to do everything myself. My husband couldn't come to any of the scans. He didn't get any of the kind of first baby excitement on the run up. So this time around, it was really lovely because he got to share everything. And the pregnancy was so different. I had morning sickness this time around, which I'd never experienced before. Obviously, running around after my now 3-year-old, being heavily pregnant was, wow, what an experience. She's such a mummy's girl as well. So it was all, mummy, come and do this, and mummy, run around with me. And I was like, I can't. I've got this huge balloon in front of me, and I can't do the same things that I could do before. It was really tiring. Last time I could sleep whenever I wanted. You know, I could have a little nap, and I'm a primary school teacher. So because of lockdown, they weren't letting me go into work because there was obviously no research around COVID and pregnancy. So I was literally able to sleep whenever I wanted in between sort of teaching online and doing all this, that and the other. Whereas this time around, it was like, I'm so exhausted.
Oh God, I'm secretly dreading this myself, but yeah.
Yeah, so exhausted running around after this toddler. But no, it was fine. And like I say, hospital visits were completely different because Rich, my husband, could actually be involved this time around. And it was really lovely to watch this pregnancy through his eyes because he was able to come to scans, which he'd never been to before. He'd never seen Abby, my first daughter, you know, on a
that is crazy,
on a grandma or anything. He'd just seen the pictures. Then the birth, and he was a major role in the birth this time round, whereas obviously last time we were in a hospital and he felt the same as me, very much sort of like a passenger in our labour journey rather than us being the ones that were actually, you know, bringing the baby into the world. And
had you done any hypnobirthing? So I know you did the birth box with this birth, but mm-hmm. with your first birth, had you done any hypnobirthing? And also, how did the birth actually go in the end?
Yeah, I'd done a hypnobirthing course. It was a course that was a little bit sort of airy-fairy, and I didn't feel very prepared going in. Whereas this time round, I'd been able to do pregnancy yoga and meet other expectant mums. I'd done your course as well. I felt a lot more prepared this time round. Last time, I don't know, maybe I had a little bit of first mum fear as well, and maybe I didn't want as much information. So that was probably part of it as well. The birth first time round left me with quite a lot of trauma. It wasn't what I expected at all. I went into hospital, was immediately put on a monitor. I had to lay in a bed for hours on end, which completely halted all the labouring that I'd done at home. So I kind of felt like I went into hospital and I was straight back to square one again. I really wanted a water birth. And it was so lovely because the first midwife that I had, she was really experienced. She was really lovely. She was able to coach me through. And she actually got me in the pool, in the water. So I thought, oh, brilliant. You know, things are looking up. Gosh, I must have been labouring in the water for about 10 hours. It was a really, really long time. And obviously at that point, I went through midwife changeover shift. So the next midwife that I had, looking back on it, I don't think was as experienced. And because I was still wearing a heart monitor for the baby, she told me that she couldn't get a reading on baby's heartbeat. So then I had to get out of the water. And obviously because I'd been in there for such a long time, and I was just kind of rolling with it, just being in the water without any other pain relief, feeling pretty good. As soon as I got out of the water, that pain just hit me and they got me on a bed. And I think within an hour of being out of that water, I was getting an epidural because it was just too much. that I felt like they just whipped me out of the water and they were like, come on, you know, this needs to happen now. And actually they examined me and they then put me on a hormone drip because they said I'd been labouring for too long. So Abby ended up being induced in the end. I must have been about six centimetres, something like that. And they ended up putting me on a hormone drip and inducing me, which obviously amped up the pain even more. So once I'd had the epidural, that was it. I was lying in a bed. And again, I felt like I was watching somebody else labour. It wasn't kind of my experience. Yeah. So this time round, I wanted obviously a much more positive experience and I opted to give birth at home because I wanted very, very minimal intervention, obviously after what had happened the first time round. So yeah, that's what we went for. I went for all the, you know, all the tests and the talks and everything that you have to go through when you want a home birth, and everything came back absolutely fine, fully healthy pregnancy, able to do it. So that's what we got signed off for. We got signed off for our home birth.
Oh, tell us about the birth.
First off, I wanted to share this story with everybody because I think it's so important, especially after doing your birth box course, to tell people that you really can just trust your body and trust it to do what it needs to do. I gave birth to my baby girl completely unassisted at the end of my bed, whilst my little girl was down here watching CBeebies, unassisted by a midwife, and just had my husband to catch her, really, when she came out. So here we go. So obviously, I used your birth box course not just to prepare me for my second labour after having watched you on TikTok and everything, but to heal from the trauma of my first labour. I felt like it was really important for me to kind of heal from that, box it off, and then begin again and think, right, this is completely new. Let's go for it. So I really wanted a home birth with very minimal intervention. I wanted to have my then 2.5-year-old daughter involved. I wanted to have my husband there and my mum as well. All the things that I couldn't have. My mum couldn't be there first time round with it being COVID and only having one birth partner. So I kind of felt like I wanted my entire village there to sort of appreciate the labour and appreciate the birth, because we couldn't have that first time round. To give a little bit of context and background, my first daughter was early. Going into this pregnancy and getting X amount of, you know, weeks of far along, I felt like I was going to be early again. So from about 38 weeks, I felt like she was coming every day. There was a sign every day that she was on her way. And I ended up being 6 days overdue. So I really tried not to put that due date pressure on myself, but it's really hard when you've had a baby before and they've been early. You've got everybody around you that's telling you, oh, you're going to be early with this one. There's no way you're going to go full term. Look at the size of your bump. You're massive. There's no way you can go full term. And that was the mindset that I had. So 6 days overdue, I wake up at about 2:30 in the morning with some pains. And I thought, oh, here we go. You know, same old, same old. I've been having these for like the past, you know, couple of days anyway. So I got out of bed and I went downstairs to where I'd set up my birthing area. And I just sat and watched some television. And in my mind, I was just waiting for the pains to stop so I could go back to bed and go back to sleep. But after about an hour of them, they weren't not continuous, but for about an hour of them being there, I thought, no, this is it now. It's happening. So I rang the midwife to ask her to come out to see me. I went and woke my husband up and he immediately jumped out of bed. He was so excited. He got the birth pool inflated. He'd put the liner in. He'd put all the fairy lights in the liner. He was so excited for it to be happening and to be part of this journey. It was really, really lovely to watch. So the midwife came. This is now about 4:00 in the morning. And she times a few of my contractions. She confirms that my waters haven't broken. And within 30 minutes, she'd gone. She was like, okay, bye. Your contractions are really sporadic. I think it's going to be a while. So obviously after my last labour taking so long, I thought, oh, here we go. We've got another long labour on our hands. So that was then my mindset going into the next couple of hours was I'm going to be labouring for a while. So then I started doing your visualizations and the meditations and, you know, I had my comb, I was ready, we were going through this journey. I was repeating to myself over and over again, I can do this. It might be a long time, but I'm going to meet my baby. It's going to be amazing. You can do this. Rich had written himself a little list of things to say, positive phrases for him to say, and he kept repeating them over and over again. You are really powerful. It was lovely. Obviously, he'd watched the birth partner part of the birth box course and found that really, really helpful. Like I say, he'd written himself a little list of things to do so that he could really be part of it and make himself useful. I started to feel my contractions ramping up, and I'm doing the breathing. I'm breathing through it and actually coping a lot better than I anticipated that I would, which gave me, you know, sort of like really positive hope that actually if it was going to be a long labor, I've got this. I'm okay. I can breathe through it. Every now and again, I've got your face in my mind that is literally going, you've got this, you can do this, because I'd watched so many videos and it was brilliant. I felt like you were there with me.
That's so cool.
So at this point, it's now 6:30 in the morning. Abby's now up. She's part of the journey. She's on the bouncing, she's on the birthing ball. She's there. She's part of the journey.
Had you briefed her on this? Like, did you get her mentally prepared in
any
way?
No. Oh. I know.
Wow.
So every day she'd asked, Mummy, the baby's coming today, isn't it? And I'd be like, soon, darling, the baby is coming soon. And then all of a sudden one morning she wakes up and she's like, Mummy, the baby is coming. I'm like, yes, darling, the baby is coming now. She's like, oh, getting herself really excited.
Wow.
I know. I think it's really hard, especially for children that young, because they're waiting and waiting and waiting for this baby to appear, and it's forever for them. So for all of a sudden for it to be like, for me to say, yes, baby's coming now, she was like, oh, yes, baby. And you know, she was there, she was in it. She was there for probably the first sort of like 5-10 minutes of the excitement, and then she was more interested in having a breakfast.
Oh, that's interesting. Were you vocalizing, or was it kind of, you know, ramping up to that point of, right, you're, you know, visibly in?
No, at this point
kind of,
it was just breathing. So I think she couldn't see that I was in any kind of pain or anything.
Right.
So she thought, okay, there's a baby coming, but maybe I'll just have some Weetabix first before the baby comes.
Yeah, priorities.
So then at this point I thought, do you know what? I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to have a bath, because the water really helped with the pain relief last time. So let's go upstairs and take a minute and have a bath. So about an hour later, I got out of the bath, and this is where everything kind of changed. Looking back, that was the point for me where the labor changed completely from, okay, yeah, we're breathing through the contractions, to hang on a minute, this is a little bit more than breathing through a contraction. So it took me about 20 minutes to get from the bath into the bedroom. I kept getting contraction after contraction. And I called downstairs to Rich, and I just said, look, I think it's time that we fill the birthing pool and that we ring the midwife team to get them to come out. So we did all of that. I'm still using sort of like the comb to divert the pain and everything. So it's all fine. But the next part of this story happens in the space of about 20 minutes. This is how quickly she crept up on me. So I go into our bedroom, and with the next contraction that I had, I started to bear down, and there was absolutely nothing I could do to stop that sensation of what I needed to do. In my head, I'm going, I shouldn't be doing this. It's too early. I'm supposed to be having a long labor. You know, is the baby okay? Is, you know, what is this transition? Because obviously through the last time I would have gone through transition, I'd had an epidural. So I'd had none of these sensations at all. You know, first time mum doing it for the first time. Rich went downstairs to then check on the filling of the birthing pool, and just to make sure that, obviously, because we've still got Abby still downstairs, she's not with us at this point. I knew at this point I wasn't going to make it downstairs. My entire body was telling me that the baby was coming. And I knew, with Rich being downstairs with Abby, I was like, I've got to do this now. Like, you've Steph, you've got to get your head in the game. This baby is coming. So a squat position at the bottom of the bed, because when I'd been practicing birth ball positions for labor, this was the one for me that was really comfortable. And with the next contraction, my waters just broke. So I'm squatting at the end of my bed, my waters have broken, and all I have got in my head is, you, Poppy, telling me all the physiology of what my body can do. And I'm right back to where I was watching the video of, you know, what my uterus can do. And you're telling me that, you know, women can give birth, you know, when they're unconscious. And I'm thinking, do you know what? Yes, I can do this. There was no fear at all at this point. I just thought, I can do this. Here we go. I've got to, like, this baby's coming and there is nobody else. And it was actually a really amazingly emotional feeling to think it's just me and my baby, and we're just going to do this together. So with my next contraction, then I can feel her head being pushed out.
Obviously, so you're still alone at this point.
I'm still alone at the end.
And you can feel the head coming down.
So I can feel the head coming out. And then I've sort of reached my hand underneath and I can just feel this head full of hair. She's got so much hair. And I'm just thinking, wow, like, this is it. I mean, at this point, I didn't even know she was a she. I didn't know she was a girl. We didn't know what we were having. But, you know, she's coming out and I can just feel this hair and it's just absolutely amazing and just spurred me on to just carry on. So I'm having this outward monologue with myself now at this point, telling myself, don't push just because you think you should be pushing. You need to wait for the urge to push. With the next contraction, that's what you're going to do. And I forgot to mention, so at this point, when the head had been born, I shouted down the stairs to Rich, "Rich, catch the baby!" Because it genuinely felt like she was all the way out. So he comes running up the stairs, like, what on earth is going on? Can see that the head has been born and just springs into action. He grabs a load of towels and he's like, right there then. He guides the shoulders out and we're just having this conversation of, right, I'm having a contraction, I'm going to start pushing now. And he's going, I think he's saying, oh, you're doing really well and I've got her shoulders, and I genuinely can't remember what he was saying to me, but I just remember us having this backwards and forwards of I felt like I was coaching him and he was coaching me, and it was wonderful for the 5 minutes that this was happening for. It was absolutely amazing. So I forgot to mention, so as my waters had broken, I then get on the phone to my mum, because I realised that in all of this chaos, I've not told her that the baby is coming. And luckily, she literally lives me a minute down the road. So as Rich and I are having this backwards and forwards and this coaching moment, my mum arrives and she's then in the room. And with my final push, she sees Averly born, and it's honestly it's the most well-timed accident, the most well-timed accidental birth that I think I've ever come across.
Oh my God.
She has the full...
Your mum must have been like, what the...
She walked into the room, was like, what have I walked into? When I called her and I told her that the baby was coming, I think at the time she thought, nah, you're just having a contraction. You're okay. You're just being a bit dramatic. And then she arrives and she's like, whoa, no, no, no. There's literally a baby in the room.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, baby arrives. Rich has got her, passes her through to me. So tells me that we've got a baby girl. And within probably about 5 minutes of this, the most amazingly surreal, confused, ridiculously happy bubble before the midwife team arrives.
Wow, so they arrived that soon after.
Mm-hmm.
Did baby cry immediately? Was there a space where she didn't cry? Like, what?
Yeah, so yeah. She didn't cry mm-hmm. as soon as she came out, which made my mum and Rich panic. Right. She was like, "Then she's not making any noise." So we actually got back on the phone. I somehow got back on the phone with the midwife unit. And I said, hi, I'm the woman that phoned a little while ago to say that her baby was coming. There's no midwife here at the minute. And I have just had a baby.
Oh, my gosh.
And the woman on the phone was like, pardon? I was like, can you just, the baby's not actually making any noise. Like, we need a bit of help. How I managed to sound so composed on the other end of the phone, I genuinely don't know.
So did you do any stimulation, or what did you instinctively do in that moment? Were you just holding her, rubbing, or?
So it was with this, at this point, Rich had still got hold of her. So he's then like rubbing her and making sure that her airways are clear.
Right.
The midwife on the phone sort of talking him through what to do. And then once she starts making a noise, that's when he's like, okay, we're okay. She's okay. Here you go.
Gosh. And how many minutes do you remember roughly?
Not many, because like I said, right. within 5 minutes of her being born, the midwife team was there. So that all happened in within that 5 minute period. But it was so lovely. So my mum got to cut the cord and we were all together in the bedroom. And then obviously Abby gets to meet her. There's no sort of going off to hospital and then bringing a baby back. She's literally up the stairs and there we are.
What was Abby like?
Oh, she was amazed. Her little face like, oh, a baby. Wow.
Gosh, and she was fine with the blood and all this, the bodily fluid. They are, aren't they? That's the thing.
So unfazed. So unfazed.
Oh my gosh, that story. Do you know, the thing that stood out to me is that you said that you had no fear when you were alone giving birth to your baby. Like, most women would have been frightened at that point, because we talk about this in the birth work community. To plan a free birth is a completely different type of planning to any assisted birth, because it's all responsibility, you know, it's on you, like everything. And I know a free birth teacher who teaches resus techniques and what signs to look out for, you know, like that whole kind of level of prep most people do to have a free birth is like on another level, to then ensure that you're not in fear. But the fact that you fully trusted your body without having thought that you planned for the home birth, you know, for the free birth, is just amazing and inspiring. And it's like, well, personally, how I want to get to that point with this next pregnancy, to be able to be fully confident in you know, because you don't know if you're going to have the baby fast or where. Personally, I think it's probably a good thing to plan for an unassisted birth anyway, just to get so ready and fearless.
I think had I ever thought that this was going to be a possibility, then I absolutely would have done some preparation for free birth. But it just never entered my mind that this was going to happen, ever. And I think probably because it had never entered my mind, that was maybe why there was no fear, because it was just
that's
a case
interesting.
Of,
yeah, it's happening.
We just have to do it. Yeah. You know, there is no other alternative. This baby is coming.
Wow. Yeah. And it's almost like the deeper sometimes you look into things, the more possible problems you might see, and then the more fear. Do you know what I mean? Whereas you just went in confident, trusted your body, and your body just did it.
Absolutely.
So you had the fetal ejection reflex, it sounds like.
Yeah. Completely just... I don't even remember doing any kind of massive pushing, especially when it was just sort of me and her, and with her head being born, I felt like that was all my body. And I just kind of visualized and sort of talked to myself the entire way through.
Gosh, that's the thing I talk about, like with a physiological birth, it's more about moving yourself out of the way rather than kind of actively pushing, actively doing something. It's just moving the mind, quietening the mind, and just letting the body do what it's designed to do in the same way as it grows babies, you know, in most cases really well. So that's just so inspiring.
And like I say, it was just that sentence that you've just said there, it was you in my head just the whole time telling me that this is what my body is supposed to do.
Yeah. And it sounds like Rich was amazing as well, having him then. And oh, he really got to be a part of this time. So he must be, were you on a high afterwards?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. For weeks. And still, when I tell anybody that I can possibly tell my birth story, I just go straight back to that. Just that massive high that we were on afterwards. I genuinely felt like Superwoman.
Gosh. Yeah. It's powerful. And then you take that into your mothering journey, right? That power and that strength and that confidence.
Absolutely.
You get to claim all of that. Like, you did it, you know, you did it fully. Wow. Oh my gosh. So what would you tell someone listening thinking, God, this sounds so far out of reach for me, or I'm really nervous, I'm really anxious. Like what words of wisdom do you have for that anxious person listening?
I guess I would just say what I have been saying throughout this entire birth story is to just trust yourself. Trust that you can do it. Trust that your body is prepared. Yeah, that is the biggest word for me, is trust. And as soon as you can have that relationship with yourself and that trust with yourself, I think, you know, you'll be onto a winner then.
I totally agree. And also just lots of education so that then you can trust yourself and you understand what's going on.
Do the work, do the courses. As I have said multiple times in this birth story, it was your voice that was in my head for quite a lot of it, which is why I had to reach out and tell you my birth story.
Yeah, no, that was wonderful. I showed it to my dad as well because he was like, oh my God. I think it's your husband's face that is the real kind of...
the fact that my mum had the forethought to take out her phone and snap that photo is amazing. And I remember thanking her so much for documenting that for us.
Steph, that was unbelievably inspiring. I'm going to have to listen to this again just to soak up all of your wisdom. You know, I gave you a lot of the knowledge, but you're going to be gifting this back to me in the form of your birth story and how you lived it. You know, you lived and breathed the message. And it's weird, like for me being a doula and having attended so many births now, I have so much more fear that I didn't have for my first birth. And so hearing you and listening to stories like yours is going to be beneficial for me and all of the listeners who are pregnant. It's amazing. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right, Steph, all the best.
Thanks so much.